at Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
What's going on, everybody? You are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show. Today, I am your host or co-host, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, Matt Dixon. And with me in studio, as usual when I do the show, is...
Justin Bruggeman.
Awesome. Justin, thank you so much for joining the show today. Little sneak peek into the show for all of our listeners. We're doing kind of an abnormal show today, wouldn't you say so, Justin?
Matt finally won.
Yeah, I beat Justin down and I said, hey, you know that show I've always wanted to do? And he's like, no, not that one. And I said, yes, we're doing that show. Today we have managed to intertwine one of my favorite pastimes with my other favorite pastime, finance, right? And what am I referencing, Justin?
Fantasy football.
It is that time of the year, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so hold on before you tune off and leave the show. There's going to be a ton of talk in here about the financial world, which is what we normally talk about, but I'm going to lightly bring in a little bit of fantasy football into the show, because if you stick around to the end, we've got a special treat in store where Justin and I are going to give you kind of our favorite picks for fantasy football this year, and maybe even the Super Bowl winners that we're hoping to see or we think might show up. So we're bringing some NFL football into the mix today. Justin,
Matt is adding all this in, just so we're clear.
Yeah, I had to do it. I've been wanting to do it forever. So, you know, if you ever want to, like if you're interviewing a new financial advisor or whatever, right, always just check to see what's their fantasy football record look like, because I feel like that's going to be a decent indicator of like
how they are as an advisor,
right? I actually do, to be truthful, not joking, I actually feel like fantasy football has allowed me to learn a few things about the market, right?
Okay.
Like, as you're going through and you're picking players and you're setting rosters, I think it is kind of a lot like picking stocks, right?
I mean, I think building portfolio, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you could relate that to fantasy football,
here,
I guess.
Right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, oftentimes when you're, you know, doing fantasy football or whatever, someone offers you a trade request. Like,
right.
Send me these players for those players. Let's change your portfolio. And oftentimes, you know, the person that is impatient is going to get burned, right?
Right.
They're like, I got to do something just to do something. And it's like, that doesn't tend to work out in your favor very well.
Well, and you never want to be the number one pick. It never works out.
No, there's too much pressure, right? Like, you can pick anything in the world, any player you want. But no, so one of the key things that I kind of wanted to start the show off with was this idea of like in the market or whether, you know, wherever you're at, building that kind of core like stock portfolio, right?
Okay.
Like, how do you go about building a portfolio?
A lot
of people are kind of mystified by that. And I think a lot of people maybe sometimes do it wrong.
Okay.
Where they're like, well, you know, I'm going to get into the stock market, and then maybe they open a Robinhood account, and then they take all their money that they have and they throw it in that one position that they think
right.
is just going to go to the moon, right?
Sometimes it works out.
Sometimes it does. That old saying of like, if you want to get rich, concentrate, and if you want to stay rich, diversify.
Right.
That's a big one. But no, Justin, let's talk a little bit about this. Maybe you can kind of lead me off, but... how do we build portfolios that are sound, that are solid? Like, what are some of the elements of a portfolio that tends to weather the storms, you know, stands the test of time? What do a lot of people do?
Well, I mean, are we relating this to fantasy football now, or are we just going straight into?
Yeah, I mean, you can start talking with the investments if you want.
I mean, let's bring back your fantasy football team a little bit, your
okay.
theme.
Okay, bring it in. How are you going to loop this together?
Yeah, so let's talk about like building a portfolio, which a lot of times what, you know, you may read or you may try to do is kind of have a core investment or a core strategy that is mainly...
Like the thing that you don't really touch much. It's just like one of those stronghold footings in your investment.
Exactly. And then, you know, now we're going to fantasy football versus, you know, investing. Then you should have some defensive players or some players that aren't necessarily top tier but are consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you got the other end of it is the high-flying wide receivers or the high-flying stocks, these big growth stocks that are big, big risk, big reward.
Yeah.
But then you also have the impacts, injury impacts and things like that.
Right.
So when we're talking about the core portfolio.
Yeah, what do you mean by that? Like some of that core holding, like what could that look like for someone?
Maybe that could be like an S&P 500 index.
Mm-hmm.
Or stocks that are extremely correlated to the index, like Apple is one that is very correlated.
And we've talked about that a little bit on the show before with like beta. Like how much, if you don't know what that is, Google it, beta of your investment, how tied is your portfolio or your positions to, say, an index like the S&P 500. Some people, you know, they know the NASDAQ or the Dow, right? Like,
right.
So how related
like
are your investments?
A one is... Exactly, you know, correlated. That mm-hmm. would be, and then more than one, you get the more extremes, less than one, less extremes.
Well, you know, when you really think about it, having, you know, kind of a sleeve of your investments in something like an index can make a ton of sense, right? Because historically, you know, you look at the S&P 500, and I think the last time I checked, the numbers were like, hey, over the last 30 years, this thing's averaged maybe 10, 12% returns.
Right.
So, I think most people are probably, you know, looking at that and saying, well, that sounds decent, you know.
Right.
Not that that's how it's going to be in the future, but historically it's it's tended to do pretty good. And if you want to relate that back to fantasy football, I can do that for you.
Do it. I'm ready. So, what is your S&P 500,
you know,
in fantasy football?
Well, do you have one? I know for me it's like the large caps, right? Like if you look back at the market, even since going back to like 1926, large cap stocks have been positive 73% of all the calendar years.
Okay.
Right? So almost 3 out of 4 times those large cap stocks have done really well. And, you know, we've talked about it on the show. Why is that? Some of it has to do with if you have a really big company that has a ton of cash, and then there's a small company that's doing really well and has a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
The big company can oftentimes gobble up the smaller company with the good idea, right? And so when you get to a certain size, you can make some moves that other companies just can't. And so you look at fantasy football, how does that relate? If you look at historical numbers, if you've drafted the top 3 running back in fantasy football, you've made the playoffs over 67% of the time. So having like that workhorse running back has absolutely been a successful strategy for getting into the playoffs. So find that thing that consistently wins, right? And have a little bit of that.
Right.
It's a good way to go. What about you?
Well, I mean, the other is, you know, we're going back to fantasy football, wide receivers.
Okay.
You know, you have some that, you know, typically you play the slot, and if it's a points per reception league, they can be really consistent but never put up huge numbers.
Right.
And then you can have the others that, you know, can blow up for, you know, 100 yards and a couple of touchdowns and win a week.
It can be kind of boom or bust. We see that a lot in like kind of that blue chip tech sector stuff, right, where you've got these tech companies that have crazy years and then like – something happens and it's like, whoa, it just went way down.
Right.
I mean, we've seen that, what was it, 2022, when everything kind of was way down, and then 2023 comes around and it rockets right back up. So kind of that boom or bust type investment.
Okay.
But man, tech's been really crushing it lately. You look at the last 2 years and the returns.
Right.
We're at a really crazy point right now where we've seen 2 years of just growth after growth after growth, and largely that's been this push of AI into everything. So
because it's all new and fancy, and that's where a lot of money is headed.
Mm-hmm.
But So if you were building your fantasy football team and you were relating it to a portfolio, how would you?
Well, I think the key in anything, right, is don't be super like concentrated in just one spot, because that's a good way to kind of get burned, right?
Yeah, first and four rounds, don't go running back.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you go in the first four rounds of your draft and you're just picking up all running backs, your team is going to be weak at wide receiver and all the other positions, right? So it's a balancing act.
Right. Diversification.
Diversification, yeah. Your portfolio is the same way. If you always are just leaning super heavy into one area, what happens when that area isn't performing and your account gets, I mean, we've done the numbers before on the show, right? Of like, if your account drops 40%, how hard does it have to rebound in order to get out of that hole?
Right.
And so, you know, everyone always says diversification, but it takes a different meaning when you think about it in the raw numbers of like, hey, you know, what happens if it's not?
You're right. And you lose 25%, you need 33% to get back to even.
So like when I do a fantasy draft, right, I'm going through and I'm highlighting all of my favorite players from all different positions. And if I've got two or three good players, you know, between running back and wide receiver, I might reach and go get my favorite quarterback, right, because I want to have all the best players on my team.
Right.
And I think when you're building your stock portfolio, you know, don't just hammer one position. Go get a lot of good stuff. Go find the things that are going to build this thing out. And it matters when you look at, in my opinion, like some people overlook the small things, right? They look at treasuries, for example, and they're like, well, it doesn't matter. Just throw it in anything that has a yield.
Right.
It's like, well, what if the treasury that you got, you know, is doing 2 or 3% and you could have gone and got 4%?
Right.
It's all in the details, whether it's your draft or whether it's your portfolio. I think that all of the fine details add up to be a really big deal over time.
Okay, so then let's flip this a little bit from who you would draft this year to who you draft next year. It changes.
It really, really does. And I want to hammer on that one, right? And it's something that is a really, really big deal, whether it's your stocks or whether it's your fantasy team. Just because it worked this year doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work the year before. And there's actually a lot of statistics that show that stuff is changing and it's changing rapidly. So you can't just ride on that same horse all the way to the, you know, to the end.
Right.
So why don't we do this? Let's talk about it, but we're going to take our first profit break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about what does it mean to flip around between investments or sectors and market.
Okay.
We've got a lot for you on this show, so stick around. This isn't one you're going to want to miss. You guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show on 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where behind the scenes we are having a ton of fun. So if you haven't been checking out the live stream, that's up and going. So feel free to tap into that. Justin, we left the listeners off at the break kind of leaning into something that you brought up, which is, hey, was last year's performance a trap for this year?
Right.
Right? Like, we always tend to feel really good when things are going well, and people tend to want to stick with it because they're like, well, I've done so good. But that isn't necessarily a recipe for success, and studies show that whether it's fantasy football or the stock market, just because it did one good one year, it tends to underperform the following year. Do you got any stats for me on that kind of back me up? Because I know that you found a couple really interesting things before the show started.
A little bit. I mean, over the last 20 years, the number one S&P 500 sector finished seventh on average the next year.
Isn't that crazy? And so you look at a year like this year where tech has been this giant that's had these massive returns. And well, statistically, if you look at it, it should, in theory, underperform, right? Like, based on historical, you know, references. Now, will it? Who knows?
Right.
Because it defied gravity in the gap between 2024 to 2025, so far at least, right? Like, 2024 was a huge year for tech, and then you look at 2025 and it did it again. So
right.
just because it's statistically improbable doesn't mean it is impossible. But, you know, you can look at plenty of things in the past that show, you know, we call it mean reversion, right?
Like, right.
what goes up kind of comes back
down. Rotation
sector
too.
Rotation. You look at energy. Do you remember how crazy 2022 was?
Yeah.
The market as a whole was getting smoked.
Yeah,
right?
It was up like 60-something percent or something.
Right, and oil was doing horrible there for a little while. And what do we see in 2022? Energy goes up like 64% or something that year. And then a lot of people wanted to hold on to those oil and gas stocks, but 2023 comes around, and if you remember, the market had kind of fallen out a little bit, and what happened, the S&P finished up, I think it was like 23%, but if you look at like XLE, which is an energy ETF,
right,
that actually finished negative for the year.
Right.
So if you were investing in 2022 and you're like, energy's going to the moon, right, and you jump on that train, and then you hold it through all of 2023, and that's all you ever had, you wouldn't have made any money in 2023.
Right.
So that's why it's really important, you know, if you're managing it or, you know, whoever is managing the money, to be able to look and say, I don't necessarily care about the trend of right now, but let's look out into the future and ask ourselves, where is the ship headed from here? And a lot of people are very, very narrow-sighted, I think.
Well, and a shift to that a little bit is, what's the time horizon on it as well?
Mm-hmm.
Because maintaining a small portion, even in, you know, a year, even that energy has not done well, if you're holding it for the next 15 years, you're probably not as concerned, depending on how big of a percentage of the portfolio it is in. Because you're playing the long game.
Right.
And that, I mean, if you want to relate that to fantasy football, it's, you can't be so upset week to week, understanding that the long-term production is still going to be better.
Yeah. I mean, sectors rotate, players rotate.
Right.
You look at someone like Michael Thomas back in like 2019, that guy set the NFL record for the most receptions, right?
Right.
Like, he was just going crazy. And I remember in 2020, people were drafting him in the top five. Right. And then turn around and fast forward to that same season the next year, everyone's drafting him high, and he missed like 9 games and finished barely in the top 100. I think he was like receiver number 98 for the year. And so it just goes to show that just because, you know, it did well one year, it's not going to always follow up the next year.
Right.
So we got to be looking into what's happening next. So, and that's,
and not chasing. Because,
yeah.
I mean, if it just because it happened, you know what, Jamar Chase, I think, won the triple count last year. I think touchdowns, receptions, yards, or whatever.
Right.
Doesn't necessarily mean he's going to do it again.
Wasn't there something you showed me that, like, less than 25% of all the players in the NFL that finish top 10 at their position fail to finish in the top 10 the following season? It's, like, less than 25%. So, congratulations, you did good one year. Odds are pretty strong that you're not going to return to that same.
Right.
I mean, Derrick Henry, kind of an exception. That guy. But look at how he trains.
Right.
That guy trains harder than probably almost anyone in the NFL. He's always training. He hired a guy to monitor his diet. Like, he has a private chef. And
it's like $1 million budget a year.
$1 million a year for personal health care. Between
his
chef, his post-workout recoveries, the massages that he gets every single day. Like, everything is a science to him. His body is a science, and he doesn't compromise. And a lot of these other guys, what are they doing? They're drinking on the weekends, or, you know, they're eating fast food or whatever. And it's like, well, the body doesn't respond real well to that. And so same thing goes for certain companies. I think a lot of the times these companies get really big and then they put it on kind of cruise control sometimes, right? Or you get bad management that mishandles things. Like, I mean, I hate to throw companies like Boeing under the bus, right? But I've heard horror stories of like how that company changed over time, right? Where parts, you know, they started sourcing parts from no longer in the U.S. And it was like, hey, well, we can probably get it cheaper, right? So why don't we have our landing gear made in Russia? And these bolts come from Brazil and this, that, and the other. And by the time it's all said and done, you've got planes that, you know, they're maybe finished in the United States, but you're having to kind of retrofit everything, cobble it together to make it work. And then what happens? Well, Boeing has a bunch of issues, ends up with lawsuits. And so it can happen in fantasy football, and it can happen to even companies that were considered to be the greatest of their time. Right.
And even you go back, you know, the average, you know, top 10% in 1 year underperforms the market by 3 to 5% the next 3 years.
Are you talking about individual stock positions?
Yeah, individual stock positions.
Right. And so it's like, I hate it when people are like, well, you know, it's always done me good and it's going to continue to always do me good. And I'm like, I don't know that I necessarily agree with that. I know people that love Apple stock, right? And they're like, this thing is the best stock ever and this is the only thing I ever want to own. And then I'm like, well, you know, I can remember when we were kids, right? Apple, what were they doing? They were always coming up with the next coolest thing.
Right.
Whether it was the iPod, right? That was completely revolutionary. And the iPhone, all the different things, the iPad. And now it seems like Apple's kind of struggling to find a footing, right? Because they spent all this money on the VR headset that they kind of then, and they promote it. This is going to be the future. And then I think recently, didn't they say, we're done with this? We're not even bringing it to market?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Or something like that. I forget. But it's like, it seems like they're kind of struggling to find what the next big thing is. Mm-hmm. And that's not a diss on Apple necessarily of saying like, don't buy it, but maybe
they're going through a season. Yeah.
Maybe they're just not the innovator that they once were, or maybe they have something behind the scenes that they're not talking about and it is going to change the world. But, with these companies, I think it's important to keep a thumb on it and a pulse of like, is this company still innovating? Because it changes the valuation metrics of the company.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. So just because it was big doesn't mean it's going to be big in the future. What are some other things?
The other is even if you're, chasing a hot sector, even like right now, let's go with, you know, even semiconductors tech.
Yeah, that's a big one right now. That's what everyone's buzzing about.
And you're in chase mode, which doesn't necessarily mean you can't buy it. It means go in with some rules, cap your position sizing, and understand that you're late to the game. It doesn't mean that it won't work out, or it doesn't mean that it won't outperform even something else.
Yeah.
It just, you may not have caught all of it.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, I think you bring up a good point because some people will say, you know, the run's over with, and it's like, well, just because it's at all-time highs, it can still go higher, right? Like, mean reversion can take a while. And timing it is really, really, really hard to do.
It is. And it's belief in the company long-term, how they're structured. You know, big companies that continue growing will continue to grow.
Right.
You know, pending problems.
Yeah.
Which there's a whole world of problems out there that can change it. You know, a pandemic can change it. Tariffs can change it. Mm-hmm. Things can change rapidly.
Yeah. No, you make a really, really good point. So I think that's worth noting. And so I don't know. It's one of those things. Do you want to talk to me a little bit about your fantasy team this year and kind of how you're not going to be chasing anything into the next season?
You know, I just decide when I show up what feels good.
Yeah.
I mean, I still kind of look for, I don't really care what happens the year before, other than I have more look at production through the whole year, or just what I think, because now it's harder because everybody switches around all the time.
that's been a big one in the NFL. Players that used to stay for 10, 11 years, they're not doing it anymore. They're kind of hopping around from team to team, and it makes it difficult. You know, a lot of these teams have 20, 30 roster moves per season where people are in and they're out. And so it can be, you know, really super difficult to predict, you know, what team is going to do well. But I think that's a big one. You got to go in and you got to analyze what have the changes been and where did people go. But past performance can help you kind of look at what's going to happen in the future. So
it can definitely help at least what to expect if similar events happen.
Right. Like, we all know that Tua has got a lot of concussions. The guy's injury prone, right? Like, is it probable that he's going to get hurt again this year? We'll talk about that later on the show. But, Justin, let's do this. Let's grab our next profit break. Let's send this thing to the airwaves so that you can get a commercial. But when we get back, we're going to talk about something.
Portfolio debt.
Yeah. How deep is your investment?
Or your bench.
Or that. So you guys are listening to the True Wealth Radio Show, where we're having a ton of fun. We'll be right back. You're listening to 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where if you happen to miss the first half of this show, you can always catch it tomorrow on our website at littlejohnfs.com. You know, you can rewind the YouTube segment and catch the video, but thanks for tuning in. Justin, okay, so what we're talking about today is building out this awesome portfolio, right, and keeping it diversified, and how do you win over a long period of time? Right. I've seen a lot of people kind of come and go in the investments where they think they have a great idea and they do for a season and they do really well and then they think they're a pro and then it washes out, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fantasy football or in investing, I really do believe that depth wins championships, right?
Okay.
So being able to access value at different levels, right? That is kind of a really big key. And we talk about, you know, and maybe I'll let you talk about some of the investment side, whether it's the different buckets of money, right? It's kind of corny, or some of the others that are out there. But
it's corny. You
know, yeah, I know. But for like football, right, when you're building a roster, one of the things I've noticed, people that win championships, they're going on the waiver wire and they're stacking their bench with some running backs that have huge upside.
Right. Injury ready running backs, things like that.
And almost no one ever wins a championship with a team that's weak in any one position.
Right.
Right? Like, if you're giving up a bunch of points at kicker because you have the worst kicker in the league, you're probably not going to win a championship. And everyone wants to scoff at the kicker, but it's like, no, they play a huge role on your team. Rarely do you win a Super Bowl with a bad defense.
Right.
Like, you can have Patrick Mahomes and all the other guys that run up and down the field and score points, but what happens on the night that they don't score the points?
Right.
You lose. So you have to have a well-rounded team, and investing is no different. You have to have a well-rounded set of investments. This is going to sound weird, right? But I would actually say, of all the portfolios I've ever looked at, very few of them are actually, in my opinion, well-rounded.
Okay.
I really don't think that they have been. I think that there's always like this kind of glaring weakness where it's like, well, this could be better, right? Or that could be better. Do you kind of want to talk about...
No, you can always say that because you always have the benefit of hindsight.
Well, and I have an opinion, right? And my opinion's not always right, but I have an opinion. So talk to me a little bit on the portfolio side. Like, what are some of the ways that you can have more depth in your investments?
Okay.
And what might that look like? I've got a few ideas, but I want to pick your brain.
Right. Which, the most important one.
The most important. Okay. What's Justin's
having
most important?
An emergency fund. Having 3 to 6 months expenses is very important, because when you have the bye weeks for fantasy, let's call that,
mm-hmm.
or out of a job for a couple weeks, or a wedding to pay for. Those are your bye weeks where
what
money needs access.
Yeah, what happens when your roof leaks? Yeah. I just talked to someone who spent like $17,000 or $18,000
right.
on a roof replacement, right? And so it's like those are real things that happen to real people all the time. And if you don't have that 3 to 6 months, like, yeah, like what if you don't have $30,000 laying around?
Right.
Well, ooh, like it could
Which
get
it doesn't
ugly.
Happen that often. People just don't have it laying around that often.
A lot of the times they don't. Didn't you say like 50% of Americans or something don't actually have emergency savings?
53% of Americans don't have 1 month saved.
Don't have 1 month.
Correct.
Ooh, okay. So take your salary. If you're making $4,000 a month, like at least get to that threshold where you got 1 month, right? Like you don't, I think a lot of the times people like they set this lofty goal and then they end up realizing like, oh man, like that's daunting.
Right.
And it is, right? But start with achievable goals that you can actually hit relatively quickly
right.
because when you check a box, that feels pretty good.
Well, we can even go to Dave Ramsey. The first is save $1,000.
Yeah.
And you don't touch it. That just stays there.
Yeah,
that's
you
your emergency fund.
Yeah. The super emergency fund.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then another way is diversifying accounts. You know, having different types of
right.
accounts, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs,
Ooh.
Slash 401ks.
I talk to people all the time about that one, Justin. That's mm-hmm. a big one because, you know, what happens if you get to retirement, as an example, and then you have $70 million
okay.
sitting in an IRA. But that's
you're
only
a great
money
saver.
Yeah, but that's the only money that you have.
Right.
What are some issues that you could run into?
Required minimum distributions are the big one because the IRS has never touched that money, and eventually they're going to say, Mother may I.
And
they're going to.
Yeah. And then you're paying income taxes on it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're losing, what, half of it or so? To
yeah, depending
taxes.
On.
Yeah. And then if you want to take a big, big, big chunk out of that $70 million to go buy your beach house in Hawaii.
Right.
Now you've blown your income up for the year. Another issue. So, yeah. No, that's a good point.
Like,
having lots of buckets.
Yeah. And having a deep bench, you know, in fantasy aspects is also having cash available on hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's recommended to have 10 to 15% of your net worth liquid and easily accessible.
Yeah.
For reasons of, you know, the roof and things like that.
Yeah.
Those things can come in. And also is being opportunistic when fear is taking over.
Yeah.
When markets are down, having the ability to push money in that is not a necessity of need
mm-hmm.
can get you a long way.
Yeah.
Because the recovery is faster. If it falls 50, you have to get 100% return to get back to even.
It's true.
So if you can input more money at that time, you magnify the catch-up period pretty much.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you just kind of touched on it briefly when you said, hey, what about, you know, the depth of your roster on your fantasy team? And
mm-hmm.
if you go back and you look at it, there's something called the handcuff running back. Have you heard of this term?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, the one that goes in and steals the touchdowns on the one-yard line?
Yeah. Traditionally, I think the most common way that people have described it, it's this player that you put on your bench and they never start, right?
Right.
They don't play. But it's because there's a guy in front of
okay,
them
I'm
that
with
is
you
like so dominant that if that dominant player ever gets hurt, right, this guy's going to come in and he's going to tear it up because he's a huge talent.
Right.
And almost any other team he'd start for. And so what you do is you put that player on your bench and you just stash them and you wait
mm-hmm.
because what happens when they get in and it's a once in a lifetime opportunity and they have the best offensive line in the
right.
game, those guys tend to average like 20 fantasy points per start
right.
coming off the bench, right? That's how you win your league oftentimes is with that player that never plays until it's time to play. And I look at cash.
Yep.
As the handcuff person, everyone wants to diss on cash and say, you know, oh, it's just sitting there doing nothing. And people hate that. And I've talked to so many investors that are like, why do you have some money sitting there in cash in my portfolio? And I'm like, Well, when that thing drops 20%,
right,
and I love that position, I'm going to scoop it because I have some cash available, right? And so cash, even though it can be boring for a season, can be the firepower that you need in order to make big winning moves in your financial.
Cash is king.
You know what? That's a clip. Blake, you're in studio. Remember that one. Mark the time and the date. That is one of the big takeaways, I think, that people need to walk away from today knowing, is cash isn't always a liability. It can be an asset.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and it changes with emergency or, you know, emergency funds too, based on two-income households, stability of job, things mm-hmm. like that. As you know, you can shrink down a little bit less if there's more stability. You know, if you're a single income earner, that's where it stretches higher, because, you know, to the 6 month range, just because if that person's not able to work.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. So what you just said is, hey, if there's two people working, maybe 3 months
right.
of emergency savings is okay.
If job stability and things like
that. Right. Because if one of you loses your job, you still have the second person bringing an right. income in. But if you're like a single mom or something, maybe target more like 6 months, because if you lose your job, like, hey, you've like that emergency savings is now floating the right. entire household. And it's, yeah, it's just you.
So, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, the reality of it is it's a lot easier said than done.
Right. How do you get there? Like, if you're struggling with that, how do you get to the emergency savings? Like, what are some of the key things that you can do so that you get yourself in a position where you're not, you know, terrified at night?
Well, I mean, there's others. You create multiple income streams, side hustles, things like that.
Okay.
Cut out subscriptions. That's always a big one now.
Okay. We're cutting subscriptions. We've got our side hustle.
I mean, cut out once. I mean, that's really the best way to do it. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do it. And then you need to figure out the budget, and then figure out if you can get there. And if not, you need to find alternatives.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. What's the one thing that you'd love to cut out that you can't? Where it's like, I love this thing too much and I'm not cutting it. Is there something that you have in mind?
Well, how about, I can't really justify my NFL Sunday ticket, but I'm paying for it.
There it is. There it is. Hey,
there's a list.
Is
probably.
It worth the $500 to watch all the NFL games?
I don't think it's that much money, but we'll see.
Yeah, they keep raising the prices. It's worth it. It's totally worth it because we love our football. Okay, Justin, we're going to talk more football. In fact, what I'm going to do is I'm going to quiz you. Remember, I said this earlier. There's a teaser at the end of this show where we're going to give away our boom and bust players for the fantasy draft and a couple other things, right? Financial. But stay tuned if you want to hear who we think might be a good pick for your fantasy team. That's coming up and more when we get back from the radio break. You are listening to 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks, Justin. That was great. All right, everybody, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where we are in the very final segment. And Justin, we've been talking about all of the great stuff, whether it's winning your fantasy league or winning with your money.
Okay.
Bring me into this home stretch. And I want to talk about the long season mindset. The NFL is 16 weeks, right?
Okay.
And as a fantasy manager, it is easy to get lazy, ignore the waiver wire, put your players on autopilot, and just say, you know, it's going to be fine, right? But let me tell you something. People that actively manage their fantasy league make the playoffs 80% of the time versus the guy that just kind of sets it and forgets it. You're not making the playoffs, dude. I think the same thing is true for your investments, but it's tricky because
okay.
if you're always looking at it, what are you more likely to do?
Mess with it.
And what happens when you mess with it a lot?
You're just messing with a thing. It's not being productive. So having rules.
Yeah. I don't know where it's important. At. I printed the stat and I'm going to botch this. So be prepared.
Okay.
But basically, if you look at it, right? If you miss the really, really big days in the market, right? There's a few of them a year. I forget how many. But if you miss those, you lose about half the return, right? So if the market did 10%, you're going to get about 5 if you miss those big days in the market.
Yep. The 10 best days in the market.
Is that what it is?
Yep.
Is it the 10 best?
10 best days in the last 20 years.
Okay.
Your return goes from a 10% average to 5.
Okay, there it is. You had the stat. Thank you. That's a wild figure to me. And I've seen people miss it.
Well.
Right? And so if you're always messing with it and you're like, oh, I got to get my hands on it. I got to be smarter than the next guy. It's like,
The worst part about that is those 10 best days show up in the worst times economically.
Okay, someone's driving their car right now, and they totally missed what you just said, but it's so important that I'm going to make you say it again.
The majority of the 10 best days happen in the worst economic times.
And when
or
do
market
people,
times.
When do people pull their money?
When things start going down.
And then they miss it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's where the patience runs in. Looking long-term runs in.
Yeah. Back in 2008, if you just rode through that entire crash, you got back to break even in 4.5 years. That's a long time, right? That is a long time. However, those who sold, it took them 10 years to recover, right? That is a staggering statistic. So you can try and time the market, and sometimes you will be successful.
Correct.
Sometimes it will burn you more than you care to admit, or maybe there's just not enough ointment cream out there to patch up those burns. Right. You just scalded yourself. It really sucks for the person who is nearing retirement and then they make the mistake.
Right.
Because guess what? Now you don't have the time needed to potentially make it all, you know, okay again.
Yeah, or you're taking distributions at a rate that you just don't recover.
Oh, that's a big one.
Because, I mean, think if you have a plan that your distribution rate's 4%, but then your account falls 20% right after that, the hole is harder to get out of.
Have you ever heard the term, sometimes the best offense is a good defense? I stand by that one. And it's not just true for your investments. It's true for your fantasy team, right? They've looked at this and they've determined that teams that hold the top 10 defenses tend to win 2.5 more wins per season.
Okay.
The margin, like, for making the playoffs for a lot of people typically comes down to 1 to 2 games per season. So there's your big takeaway. You want to win, you want to be in the playoffs, you got to have the right defense.
Right.
And I can tell you from 100% fact, if I go back and look at it, I think I played fantasy football for like 7 or 8 years. More than 50% of the time, I finished in the top three. And the years that I failed to finish in the top three, you want to know what one of the big, big pieces of that puzzle was? I was picking my defenses up off the waiver wire. I didn't have a top three defense. So when it comes to your investments, right, being able to say, I know that not 100% of my portfolio is just blank.
Right.
I have it, you know, we talked about this earlier. It's diversified, or some part of it is sheltered where I can maybe draw from this portion of it
because
I know it's not down and I'm going to let this portion of it recover. That can play a really big role in having a healthy portfolio, I think.
It definitely can.
Yeah.
It buys you time.
That's
what markets need it to recover is time.
Yeah.
Which the last few have recovered a lot quicker than historically, but
it
still takes time.
Okay. So, Justin, we're down to like the last 3 minutes of the show.
I know. The moment you've all been waiting.
The moment
you've been
waiting for years.
Not you all.
I am going to tell you, and I'm going to reveal my actual fantasy picks for it. Now, this is not advice for you. Like, I don't want to get sued.
This is not financial advice.
No, nothing you've heard on this show is financial advice. And, you know, we're just trying to educate a little bit. So this is not financial advice. And this is not advice for your fantasy team, because some people take this so seriously that they're going to hunt me down if it doesn't go well.
Right.
But one person that I like that I might be targeting in the draft this year, Miami. Do you have any idea who I'm going to say from Miami, the Dolphins?
No, you're not.
Yes, their running back, Devon. Yes, yes, you got it. Did you know that last year he put up numbers that were almost identical to Christian McCaffrey right before he had his breakout season? This guy is a machine, right? And he's being drafted late in the first round. Some people are even drafting him in the second round. I think that he could easily be a top three running back. Now, there are some risks here. The Dolphins' offensive line, suspect. Tua, concussion prone, has a history of being injured, and when he's out, the Dolphins just don't play well. But he has huge boom potential. Whether it happens or not, that's a little sketchy. The one guy that I do think is more of a lock, Chase Brown, Bengals running back. This guy is playing on a super high-scoring offense. He's young. He's got fresh legs. He's got Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase. That offense is going to score a ton of points. He's a good receiving back. This guy is ranked at RB11. I've got him going in the top probably six. So way undervalued. He's my lock. If you need someone that's a boom, he's my guy. My bust, Malik Nabers, Giants wide receiver.
Okay.
I think Russell Wilson is completely washed, and the Giants have just been horrible for so long. If Russell Wilson can't throw it to DK Metcalf, he's not getting it to Nabers either. Why would you waste the top 10 pick on this guy? And my Super Bowl contenders for the year, I hate to say this, but I think it could be the Bills from the AFC, and if it's an NFC team, I like the Lions, Justin. But go Lions. I think we're out of time. Justin, you got anything?
Yep, I think we are out of time.
All right. Thanks for tuning into the True Wealth Radio Show. Those are our picks. I hope you had a great day. And thanks for tuning in to the True Wealth Radio Show.